And good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you on this Monday, September the 12th, 2016, 12:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You are tuned into the Now program, and we are having a great time. And today is going to be a current events day with Terry Tackett, which we have not done in about 3 weeks, so that's going to be enjoyable. And we're going to open up the phone lines during this program because there is a lot to talk about in the world of local, national politics in general, and I think we're having an issue here. Maybe. Hopefully not. Are we in any kind of shape? No? Okay. We're working on it here. We're going to try to get Dr. Art Ulean on the phone because he is going to be our first guest, and we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton and what happened yesterday with her health, which is now the talk of the town. And stick with us because Dr. Ulean is only going to be on with us for about 15 minutes. And then Terry and I are going to discuss it and you on the toll-free line. So that should be a lot of fun in and of itself. It's going to be an enjoyable day here on the Now program. And remember, you can always get us streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com or get us on the free TuneIn app by going to any mobile device and downloading TuneIn free and then searching WWGH, and there we will be all over the world. So that is how it works. And here we go. This is going to be a lot of fun. Starting off the program is a gentleman who I like to have on a lot. 23 years he was on the Today Show as their medical correspondent, and we're always so glad to have him on the program, Dr. Art Ulean. Dr. Ulean, how are you?
Scott, never better.
Good to hear. Wanted to have you on for a quick 15 minutes today because yesterday, for the first time in a long time, politics, national politics in this race really became interesting as Hillary Clinton, the Democratic nominee, became ill at a 9/11 ceremony. We have video, everybody has a cell phone now, of her losing her balance and being put into a car, taken to her daughter's house, and she emerged about 2 hours later, waving, smiling, but we now know that she was diagnosed with pneumonia last Friday, so says her doctor. And that's what happened, and she is taking a couple days off to rest up. Dr. Ulean, what did you make of that yesterday as it happened?
Well, let's separate this, Scott, into what I saw and what I assumed and made of that, and what I do or don't know about Hillary Clinton's condition, because you know me well enough to know that I, not having examined her and not having access to her medical records, would make absolutely no presumption about what actually happened to her. But I can talk about some things that might have happened, and I can tell you what I assumed when I first saw those videos, and then I can tell you how the latest news of pneumonia kind of makes it all fall in place. Okay?
Sounds great.
All right. You alerted me to the problem, actually. You sent me an email, and you said, hey, would you be willing to come on and talk about this? And I said, well, I better go take a look at the pictures. And what I saw were, at first, a picture of a woman overdressed for 80-degree temperature, dramatically overdressed for high humidity and hot weather, standing for long periods of time, and then stumbling and being helped into a car. And 90 minutes later, I saw this bright, cheerful person walk out of an apartment building in New York City saying, I feel great. And the image that came to my mind immediately was that of a Marine. Not a weak candidate for president, but a Marine, overdressed, standing on a parade field in 90-degree weather and fainting in the middle of a group. We've all seen that image, right?
Absolutely.
It's always noteworthy because the other Marines stand at attention and just ignore the guy on the ground. And so I said to myself, holy cow, this woman... was suffering from an overheated body and dehydration, probably. Because if that had happened to me, I would have said, you idiot, why didn't you drink more water and why didn't you dress for the weather? So it could all be explained by that. By the way, it's a marvelous testimonial to the power of water, isn't it? This woman walked into her daughter's apartment, starts drinking water, and 90 minutes later, she's still overdressed for the weather, but ready to go to the ball. Now, the news that she had pneumonia on Friday helps explain something else. It helps explain her coughing fits, because it helps me understand now that those coughing fits that she had were indeed not caused by an allergy to Donald Trump, but were probably the very first signs of a pulmonary infection. Now, considering that she had pneumonia on Friday, and looking at her schedule on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all I can say is this lady has amazing determination, because I'm sure her doctor told her to get into bed. She had, by the way, what is referred to as colloquially, ooh, I'm not saying that well today, walking pneumonia. There is no such thing as walking pneumonia. That's not a medical diagnosis. That's a common lay term to refer to someone who has such a mild case of pneumonia that they're not laid to bed by it. They're actually walking around but have pneumonia. And what that tells us is that this condition, pneumonia, which is an infection of the lungs, the lower part of the lungs, there's a broad spectrum of pneumonia. You can have a very mild case of pneumonia, still go out and do your work, and some people who have very severe cases are really laid low. It can be life-threatening. There are several different causes of pneumonia. It can be caused by viruses. It can be caused by bacteria. It can be caused by fungal infections. And some people assume, well, her doctor put her on antibiotics, so she must have a bacterial infection. And that may or may not be true, because if I went to my doctor and he diagnosed pneumonia, I'm pretty sure he would put me on antibiotics as a preventive measure, just to make sure that if I had a viral pneumonia, it did not become, which is more susceptible than the bacterial infection, that I didn't get infected. But we don't know. The important thing that I need to tell you is we don't know anything for sure. But I think the likely presumption is, starting with the doctor's diagnosis on Friday, she had pneumonia. She went into 80-plus degree, extremely humid weather, overdressed, and stood for long periods of time in the heat, and she got faint. She felt faint. She got weak. And this could happen to almost any of us if we didn't drink. By the way, there's another, I talked about the fact that I suspect she was dehydrated, and we didn't see her drink for a couple of hours. People, you know, they don't get to do that. We tend to ignore fluids. There's another problem that might have affected her, which is the long periods of standing still with no muscular activity. Because if the body gets overheated, the normal reaction of the body is to open up the blood vessels in the skin, to dilate the blood vessels so that the body can lose heat. I mean, there's a real wisdom to our bodies. And then the body says, hey, she's got me cooped up in this wool suit. I'm getting too hot. It can be dangerous. So I want to perspire. The evaporation of the perspiration helps cool the body. And I want to send more blood to the skin. What does that do? That lowers your blood pressure. It makes you feel faint. So all of these things kind of add up now that we're hearing the story.
Is this something we, the public, should be worried about as a person running for president? Because the media has been nonstop with it, since it happened?
Well, let me tell you, as a physician, I'm not worried at all about it. I'm blown away by the fact that this lady who had pneumonia was able to drag herself around for 2 days of speeches and fundraising and public events. So I'm not worried at all about the long-term effects of pneumonia. I am most encouraged by what I saw when she walked out of the apartment building, which was a woman looking very hale and hearty. And I'm guessing, and it's a guess, let's be real clear about this, I am guessing that the thing that brought her down on Sunday, was not the pneumonia, but excess body heat and dehydration.
Now, the video we have seen the video of her coming out of the apartment building looking good, but the video we saw more of on all news networks was the video of her really staggering to the car and having to be helped in. Is that uncommon?
No, an image just came to my mind. I go to the gym a few days a week, and I do a pretty hot and heavy workout, and I must confess I don't drink enough during my workouts, and I go to a gym that was built 70 years ago. It's not air-conditioned. And we're in California. So when I get done with my dozen routines, I go collapse in this giant leather chair. And I have learned over time that I got to get out of that chair very slowly. Okay? Because if I jump up out of that chair, I get very faint and I have fallen down on the floor once by doing that. So it's what happens when your blood vessels are dilated and you jump up too quickly, your blood pressure drops precipitously, but just temporarily, and you get faint. So no, I think that was a normal reaction to being overheated and dehydrated.
Now, you have said, Dr. Yulin, that the long-term effects are probably not going to be anything to worry about, but this is September the 12th. She has a debate on September the 26th that is 14 days away. Is that enough time to recover from this to be in full force and shape and ready to go up there in front of those hot lights? What they're saying will be the biggest crowd in television history. Every network's covering it more than a Super Bowl, with obviously the nerves that they both will have. Do you believe she will be over this in 2 weeks?
That is really a good question. And let me think about that for a second. Here's my answer. If she were preparing for a football game, I would tell you flat out, no, I don't think she'll be ready. Because any illness, particularly an inflammation of the lungs, an infection of the lungs, pneumonia, it takes a while to recover from, you know? I mean, you may be well in 3 or 4 days, but it does take particularly people over the age of 60 a little longer to recover physically. But the debate is not a physical contest, it is a mental contest. So I don't think it's likely to have much effect on her performance. My own belief about these debates is that you can't cram for them. I remember cramming for tests in medical school and in college, but you can't cram for a debate. So I think the performance that we see on September 26th is going to reflect the accumulated knowledge that Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have put away during the last few years, and I would expect her to be at her peak, just as I expect him to be at his peak.
A 69-year-old woman who has contracted pneumonia 3 days ago, how long should she stay off the campaign trail? Should she be in airplanes?
Wow, you ask good questions. And those are two separate questions. How long should she be off the campaign trail? I don't think she should be off the campaign trail for 10 minutes. If I was Hillary Clinton, I'd have my staff in there right now, and I'd say, bring me a cup of tea and let's talk about this debate. In fact, she canceled the California trip and is going to make a remote appearance. I mean, that's the marvels of modern technology. How about flying in an airplane? Today's airplanes are pressurized to 5,000 feet. So the question you're asking is, can she handle the stress of walking to her private jet and flying around the country and tolerating the atmospheric conditions in Denver, Colorado? And if I were her physician, I would tell her you shouldn't do that for probably 4, 5, 6 days. Now, her own physician is the one who can truly assess where she's at, and based on that might say, well, you can get up in 3 days, or hey, you're not ready, I want you off your feet another 3, 4 days. I don't think she's going to be off the trail very long, and I don't think it's going to jeopardize her recovery at all.
Dr. Uhlein, you're in a unique position because not only are you a medical professional, but you are versed in the media very well. Pictures are worth a thousand words. That saying's been around a long time. Could this, yeah, with less than 60 days to go, with so much talk, we've had you on once before about the medical status of these two candidates, could this theoretically cost Hillary Clinton the election, putting on your media hat?
Well, I got to take it off my doctor's hat, and I'll put on my media hat now, and I'll tell you that in my opinion, this election is going to be settled in 3 debates, and nothing else is going to matter.
If she gets up in that first debate, and 2 weeks away, 14 days from today, 15 days from when she sort of got woozy at the 9/11 thing and had to be carried into the van, being in front of those hot lights again, being up there for what will be 2 hours, I believe, or 90 minutes, exerting herself and probably going back on the campaign trail before this week is over, I think is what I heard this morning. Is there a chance that that could still be in her lungs and she could get weak-legged on the stage the night of the debate? Because that, to me, would be big trouble.
Is there a chance? Yes, of course there's a chance. Is it likely? Probably not. If I were her physician, I would advise her that when she's standing, she should be kind of massaging her calves, lifting herself up on her toes from time to time, because that keeps blood flow going. It keeps it from pooling. If I were on her staff, I would demand that they turn the air conditioning down a little bit and dress her appropriately for the temperature. I'd hydrate her well before the talk, but not so well that she'd have to run off to the bathroom during the middle. So I just think it's highly unlikely that it's going to affect anything.
Go ahead.
We'll see.
Yeah. Final question. Could this, if this were you, or if this was just John Q. Public, should John Q. Public, listening to this show right now, factor in the video that they saw yesterday into their decision on who they should vote for in less than 60 days?
Gosh, no. Which video?
The video of her.
You want to look at the video of her coming out of the apartment? Out of Chelsea's apartment, that was a vigorous-looking lady. The video of her showing what looked to me to be obvious signs of dehydration and heat intolerance, I wouldn't let that determine my vote. Personally, I'm going to watch every minute of those 3 debates, and I think that what is said in those 3 debates will tell us a huge amount about the actual knowledge, temperament, and function of these individuals. And if she's not able to perform at that debate, and someone says, boy, that's enough to tip me over, I would not have a problem with that, Scott. I would understand that completely.
I lied. That wasn't... I have one more. The last question is, if Donald Trump, which he's already sort of taken a shot, he said he hopes she feels better, but now he's willing to release his medical records. If he or his campaign takes shots at her over this, or uses that video in a campaign video, which I can see, hasn't happened yet, is that to you politics as usual, or is that lower than normal?
Well, there's a new normal in this country, Scott. I think it's disgusting, but it's the new normal. We have seen such a decline in the level and the tone of political discussion, but I don't think it's just political discussion. I think it's just a decline in the way our country operates. I'm 80 years old, you know that. I pride myself on only looking 70. But when I get on a bus or in an elevator, people race me now for the chair. You know where it says, please save this one for old folks? Well, I would never sit in that one anyway. But the younger folks just don't even let you. The entire level of politeness and discourse in this country has declined so that nothing surprises me anymore. Would I be disappointed if they use that? I want you to know I was really pleased to see how Trump reacted today, saying, I hope she gets well. That is the kind of tone I want from a presidential candidate.
Do we have any fear of anything else from Hillary Clinton's health? Obviously, we don't know her medical records, but is this a precursor to anything else, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know why it should be. Again, I think there were two separate things going on. I think there was the episode of pneumonia, a very mild episode, and based on what we saw her do. And the episode of either dehydration and or heat intolerance. The episode of heat intolerance, dehydration, is solved by cooling off and drinking water. That's done, over and done with. The other episode of pneumonia shouldn't lead to further complications. Now, could it? Of course. But the next few days will tell us, answer that tale. I think her performance on September 26th will answer that question once and for all.
I think the world will be watching. Dr. Euline, thank you so much for coming on with such short notice. It's always a pleasure.
You're welcome. It is my pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Dr. Art Euline, well, there you go. Capping the day's news. Nobody better to talk to than Dr. Art Euline. Terry Tackett's in studio. We haven't done this for a while. What do you ascertain from what Dr. Art Euline just said?
Well, I think it should definitely, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, but I mean, it should definitely shed some light on, you know, whether or not the sickness, you know, I mean, what she had. I mean, it sounded like just dehydration and, you know.
Too many clothes on yesterday,
yes, yep,
possibly.
Well, wasn't dressed appropriately for, yeah.
Do women have to dress differently than men?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, by the way, if you're out there listening and want to get in on this conversation, 740-383-9944. What do you think of what Dr. Art Euline said? What do you think of the whole spell yesterday of Hillary getting a little faint? I don't know that she ever did pass out. She had to be helped into the car. And does this impact the presidential election in your opinion? 740-383-9944. Does it impact it to you, Terry?
It doesn't for me, but I think there's going to be people out there that I'm sure this will have an impact on.
What will it say?
I think it'll kind of reassure. Is reassure the word I want to use, or reaffirm maybe what people's suspicions already are when Donald Trump said she doesn't look presidential. I think this is what this will kind of.
Well, he's made quotes about her stamina and about her ability to do the job. Does this affect that?
Well, I think this kind of. I don't know what the appropriate word is, but this will kind of like. lead people to believe that he's right, you know, that...
Is he right?
No. I mean, I think like Dr. Euling said, this could happen to anybody. I mean...
Do you like seeing that video of
but
her...
But it's just unfortunate that it had to happen to...
Watching her stumble into that car, what did you think?
Boy, I just thought immediately when I seen it, I thought, you know, what's she, you know, what is she doing? Is, you know, why was she at if she was sick? And
well, that's a good question. Like Dr. Euling said, this woman apparently is a trooper.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, why didn't she stop?
Uh huh. Yeah, that's the question. It sounded like she wanted to just keep on going, you know, and.
Well, I think there was a mistake made, to be honest with you, because I think the campaign should have said on Friday that she's got pneumonia.
Yeah.
Because when it first happened yesterday, people didn't know what was happening.
Uh-huh.
So until 5 o'clock last night when they announced that she had pneumonia, the news cycle was totally dominated about what happened
to
her.
Well, of course, everyone was going to draw their own conclusion. What they thought, you know, was...
Why did the campaign do that?
I don't know.
To me, that's a major league mistake.
I think you got to get on top of this stuff as soon as it happens. You got to be...
Do you think there was a fear if they said she had pneumonia that all of a sudden it would come negative?
Yeah.
And they would say, oh, no, she's not fit. Look, she can't handle the campaign trail.
I think that's exactly it, is that, you know, that's why they waited so long, you know, was to say that, because... They figure, I don't know, maybe they thought maybe less people would think that, you know, or something like that, but I think that's exactly what...
It's an interesting story. Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944, 740-383-9944. Give us a call, and we would love to get you up on the air and talk about this, because it certainly made for interesting news yesterday. But as we wait for your phone calls, and again, anybody can call in, 740-383-9944, let's get into some other stories, and one of them is in Ohio here. Donald Trump is now leading Hillary Clinton again in the polls in Ohio. And Gary Johnson's polling 14% in Ohio, a lot higher than he has polled in some other states. Let's go to the phone lines here. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
She almost looked like a Trump stumbling in that van.
Well, yeah.
She was so, what I want to say, not within the capacity to take care of herself, that it almost looked like a drunk.
Well, but what do you... Does that mean anything to you?
Not really. It just... She's... And, you know, when he said she was overdressed, if you remember when our soldiers first went to Desert Storm, and they had on just their regular fatigues and what have you, and they were almost dying of the heat. But you look at the Arabians and you know, the Kurds and all them, they dress in layers of clothing because it cools the body. So, you know, what's the difference?
So do you think this was just a mistake and not any comment on her health?
Yeah, it's hard to say.
Dr. Euling says...
I've seen people dehydrated and you get weak, you need oxygen, and, you know, different things like that, but it's... How did she snap out of it so quickly? That, you know, it was only, what, they say, 90 minutes?
Yeah.
And if she was almost at the point of passing out, I think it would have taken longer than 90 minutes for her to bounce back. She must have had some kind of a miracle elixir.
I think it was just called water. Well, no. I mean, you get, first, well, one of the problems is, and this is something nobody's talking about.
Well, Dr. Euling doesn't know because he hasn't had an examiner or anything. So
it's speculation
on everybody's part.
Well, not really speculation to that degree, because Dr. Euling does know the time frame, and said he watched both videos and said that's totally possible.
Well, anything's possible, but now she is in her late 60s, almost 70, and it takes a human body a lot longer to bounce back the older you get.
Yeah, he said anybody over 60, it takes a little while.
But now, one thing we have to... Why wasn't... Hillary wasn't standing next to her car. She was standing quite a ways from her car.
Well, yeah, she was leaning on a post.
Right, so why did she not start to stumble like that until the last four or five steps? Do you think it could have been exhaustion trying to get to her car? She wasn't, you know, carried to her car.
It's hard to say. Really hard to say.
Does it mean anything, though? Does it mean anything?
No, not really. Not really.
But
it, you know, that's they're on a terrible case, both of them. And anybody that goes, you know, like that, just, you know, you were talking the other day about William McKinley, or not, no, Harrison McKinley, one of the two that made the hour and a half speech and then died 31 days later.
Right.
You know, it just, from exhaustion, and exhaustion will do that to you.
You know what I found out? It's weird you bring that up. That is actually a wives' tale.
Oh, is it?
That's not true at all.
Was he drunk or what?
No, no, he did give the speech, and he was an older gentleman, but he had not been feeling well. Talk a little more about Hillary here for a second.
It was a snowstorm also. So.
But it didn't have anything to do with that at all. I was surprised when I read this, because after we asked that trivia question, I remember pulling it up and seeing that was actually... had nothing to do with it. Let's see here. Here we go. Let me get this. I'll see if I can find that as we go along here. But it's awful interesting because that has been brought up and brought up and brought up, and apparently that is not exactly what was the cause of his death. He actually had something else going on, I guess. At the time. Oh, here it is. On March 26, Harrison became ill with a cold, according to the prevailing medical misconception of the time. His illness was believed to be directly caused by bad weather at his inauguration. However, Harrison's illness did not arise until more than 3 weeks after the event. The cold worsened rapidly, turning to pneumonia. And pleurisy, pleurisy. He sought to rest in the White House, but could not find a quiet room because of the steady crowd of office seekers. His extremely busy schedule made any rest time scarce. Harrison's doctors tried cures: opium, castor oil, leeches, Virginia snakeweed, but the treatments only made Harrison worse, and he became delirious. He denied 9 days after becoming ill, so he did not, that wasn't what happened. It took 3 weeks after the inauguration before he became ill.
He basically had pneumonia, had a light case of pneumonia that turned into a more severe case of pneumonia, and that's what got him.
Apparently had a cold, but it didn't even arise till 3 weeks after the inauguration.
Yeah, that's just like, you know, Hillary with her coughing and stuff. She thought it was allergies. And it kind of masks itself, and you're sick before you know it.
Right, but also this is...
The longer it takes you to bounce back.
Right, but also this is 1841. Medicine was a little different back in those days.
That's true.
You had your miracle elixir back then.
Yeah, well, hey, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Again, telephone lines are open. What do you think? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's interesting that the William Henry Harrison thing was a bunch of garbage. But does the medical thing really mean anything? Because we all know that FDR was a poor president because he was ill.
Yeah. Oh,
right?
Yeah. He didn't do anything.
Yeah, poor guy.
It affected his judgment, you know, on a lot of things. But I unfortunately today, I just think that a lot of people are going to take this and run with it.
Do you think this could have cost her the election?
I hate to say it, but yeah.
You don't think the three debates will mean anything?
Well, No. Of course, I think the debates will mean something. And I'm, she's a very good debate. Obviously, she's a very... But I just think that maybe enough people... You know, might see this as...
Okay, let's say you're one of those people. What is your thinking? Why if you were going to vote for her Saturday,
well,
you saw the video Sunday, why would you not vote for her today?
If I seen the video, I would probably say, oh my God, you know, maybe he's right. Maybe her stamina is not that great. You know, I mean, is she going to get halfway through her first term? And then, you know, so of course there's a lot of deciding factors, you know. I mean, for me, I don't think it's a big deal, but I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that it does affect.
We shall find out. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What do you think? 740-383-9944. Again,
I think a lot of people will probably think she looks weak now, you know, because, I mean, like in the eyes of say, other leaders or what, is what I'm trying to say. You know, for example, say she's having a meeting with Putin or something. And
so do you believe a disabled person could ever become president?
Sure.
But how is that possible if pneumonia disqualifies you?
Well,
you look weak.
Yeah, well, I'm not, you know, I mean, for me personally, no. I mean,
I understand that,
yeah.
But I'm saying, you're saying in the eyes of the voters, this will make her look weak and could
sure.
possibly cost her the election.
Yeah.
So how could a disabled person...
just with this other candidate that's, right, you know...
But is he that persuasive to make the Democrats vote for him because...
Oh, no. I don't think it's going to change, but I think he might get enough people that's on the fence... That now after they see this video,
because they're going to say she doesn't have enough stamina.
They're going to say, you know, that maybe her health is not the greatest. That you know.
What if she has a good debate showing?
I think she'll win a lot of those people back.
Didn't Ronald Reagan have cancer when he was in the White House and win the following election?
Yes. Like I say, I personally myself don't think, you know, but unfortunately there's enough people out there that I just think.
What about when George W. Bush choked on the pretzel?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's awful interesting that health has become a major issue
here.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. My goodness.
740-383-9944 if you'd like to weigh in on this. But now back to the other thing. Here in Ohio, Trump has pulled ahead, but only when it's a four-way race, because Johnson ends up pulling about 14% in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's only between Trump and Hillary, she wins by 1%. So is Johnson pulling more away from her than Donald?
Could
Donald win Ohio?
Theoretically, I guess he could. You know, I mean, I thought it would be impossible for him to win Ohio, but...
Well, there's still 60 days left, under 60
you know,
days.
Yeah.
But what does this say that Ohio, one of these Midwestern states,
uh-huh.
is tending to go Trump right now? But, of course, it tended to go Hillary
about two weeks ago.
Sure,
so, I mean, I think it was a four-point lead or something about, you know, for her about 2 months ago or a month ago or something. And
now, what do you think, because Johnson is polling higher in Ohio than he's polling a lot of places, what does that say about Ohio voters?
I'll use the term that you hate, and I hate it too, is that a lot of people don't like the lesser, or they're going with the lesser of two evils, you know what I mean?
What does that mean?
I
just want to know what that means. If you want to vote for Trump, I assume you like Trump. If
yeah.
you want to vote for Hillary, I assume you like Hillary.
Uh-huh.
What is this? So basically, you're not voting for Gary Johnson.
Exactly.
You really don't care about him.
You're not
him.
Voting at all.
You're throwing your vote there because you don't like the other two. Does it mean it? We didn't get, with Mr. McFeely here last week, we didn't get much a chance to talk about this. How about when he went on Morning Joe and didn't know what Aleppo meant?
Yeah.
Now, is that the lesser of two evils?
Well, what was the thing he said that he thought it was in Africa?
Well, then he said, how do you not know about the terrorism? How
yeah.
do you not know about that?
Yeah, he definitely wasn't at his best there.
If I know about it, he should know about it.
Absolutely.
But he's polling 14% in Ohio.
I think it's one of those things that people just, they think, well, we'll just vote for the third party because we don't like either one of the other two.
Is it because people don't talk about him? Is that why he's getting 14% of the vote?
That could be. I mean, I just think that people are so disgruntled that they think that they're going to change everything.
It's a bizarre situation.
It is. It really is.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I'm going to try to get into this quick here. Hillary Clinton expressed regret Saturday for comments in which she said half of Donald Trump's supporters are deplorables. Meaning people who are racist, sexist, homophobic, and xenophobic. This is what's a quote. Last night I was being grossly generalistic, and that's never a good idea. I regret saying half. That was wrong, Clinton said in a statement in which she also vowed to call out bigotry in the Trump campaign. The Democratic presidential nominee sparked an uproar late Friday when she described Trump supporters at a fundraiser. To just be grossly generalistic, you can put half of Trump supporters into homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it, racist, sexist. a basket of deplorables. She added, and unfortunately, these people, there are people like that who he has lifted up. He has given them voice. He's given voice to their websites, and their websites only used to have 11,000 people, and now they have 11 million. His tweets and retweets, he tweets and retweets offensive, hateful, and mean-spirited rhetoric. Clinton then said some of these people were irredeemable and not America. And, of course, Trump came back. Isn't it disgraceful that Hillary Clinton makes the worst mistake of the political season, and instead of owning up to this grotesque attack on American voters, she tries to turn it around with a pathetic rehash of the words and insults used in her failing campaign? Trump said in a statement, for the first time in a long while, her true feelings came out, showing bigotry and hatred for millions of Americans.
Oh my
with four
God.
Minutes left to go, Terry, there's a pass for you. Go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. Begin on this one. I think...
She had pneumonia when she gave that speech.
I think it was definitely a mistake that she used the word half.
What about basket of deplorables?
And basket of deplorables. Probably not the best thing to say. But
to her supporters, do you think it hurt her?
Well, to her supporters, I think that they wholeheartedly agree with her, probably.
Well, let's take the truth of the matter. Are they a basket of deplorables?
No.
Do you think half... Now, wait a second. Now, let's be serious here. Does David Duke, the former Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, support Donald Trump?
Uh-huh.
Has he told the Ku Klux Klan members of today to support Donald Trump?
I think so.
Okay. I'm not saying Trump has accepted that endorsement, but are those people going to vote for him?
Sure.
Are they going to vote for Hillary?
No.
Are those people deplorable?
I don't know if I'd use the word deplorable.
Ku Klux Klan members are not deplorable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's what you have to decide.
Yeah.
Because she said the words before she said half of basket of deplorable. She said people who are anti-Muslim, people who are sexist, people who are racist.
Okay, so she did.
Are those people
so
deplorable?
She did clarify then.
Well,
right?
She said what the basket of deplorables was.
With the generalization that she gave.
Let me get that exact part of it out. She said was, she said, I can call them a basket of deplorables. She said racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
This is a call from the basket.
Oh, you're voting for Trump now?
No. Still not doing that. I find it ironic that she used the word deplorable while talking in a group of people that many people find totally deplorable.
It
was the LBG, whatever the heck it is.
Right. She was speaking to the...
And a lot of particularly heavily religious people.
Now, wait a second.
Consider them deplorable people.
Right, but now... There's a difference there, and I'll tell you the difference. The difference is that LGBT is not hurting other people. People can have their opinions on it, but it's not hurting other people. People who are xenophobic, sexist, racist, KKK, those groups are trying to hurt other people. Those groups have systemically tried to hurt other people.
The fellow that called in the other day who's advocating, having pride in being a white person. I didn't find him hateful. He wasn't doing it at the expense of black people or
white
people.
I guess my question to him would have been, why do you need to have pride in being a black person? Why can't you just be proud of being a person for what you do?
Okay, I would ask that of the black people. Why, the Black Lives Matter. But so do white lives and all other shades.
I think the difference, and just because we're about to come up on the break, but I think the difference between Black Lives Matter, I think this is often confused, because Black Lives Matter is not an assertion of black proudness. Black Lives Matter is an assertion that they are not treated fair, African-American people, in the eyes of the law, and statistics seem to pan that out. You don't need a White Lives Matter group because the majority of people in jail are not there, who are, they're not white. They're not, now, they're not getting shot by officers.
I mentioned some of this, hatred stuff. I was talking to my daughter, and she says that, I told her about this fellow came in. He was advocating that white people be proud of their heritage and all. And she says, well, white people have never been oppressed. I said, that's the biggest nonsense I ever heard in my life.
White people have not been oppressed?
You talk to the coal miners. One of the most dangerous jobs in the world.
But that's Right, but here's the difference. Coal miners have been oppressed, and there are African-American coal miners.
Very few.
Why? Why are there very few?
I can't imagine anybody in their right mind willing to do that. And most of your steel mills.
No, but see, that's...
Now recently...
We're coming into the break. I hope you call back next hour.
No, I'm going to... I'm at the golf course now.
Oh, okay.
There you go, tee off. So
okay.
Talk to you in a couple days.
Bye-bye.
You can't go in there because that's white. That's white. Then you go to the other one or go someplace there. Or we can go in here because it's black. They go in black.